Hello, and welcome to another episode of The Virulent News, Toxic Habits and Attitudes. I'm your host, Wayne Bibbs. If this is your first time listening, welcome. And if you've tuned in before, welcome back. In this podcast, we examine all the things that we allow to interfere with our pursuit of our dreams and the indulgence in our passions. Procrastination, fear of trying something new, the belief that we may not be good enough, ridicule from our families, friends, and even strangers, and all the other toxic habits and attitudes that get in our way. And we all have things that we must do on a day-to-day basis, but we often forget that we can make room in our lives for the things that we enjoy. Your life is more than just a collection of your responsibilities, and in this podcast, we strive to remind you of that. My guest today was the host of a local radio show that focused on solo musical artists or bands from right here in Michigan. Circumstances made it necessary to pause her hosting for a hot second, but she's coming back, and she's agreed to tell us about her plans for the show. Please allow me to introduce to you Ms. Erica Blair. Erica, thank you for joining us.
Well, hey there, Wayne. How are you?
Doing well. And yourself?
Very well, thank you.
Good, good. All right, well, let's just get right into it. First, give us a little background on the show itself. What was the name of your show, and in what area did you broadcast?
Well, the show is called Michigan Music Uncovered, and it was on Q100, which over the course of the years, they own several different towers, but mostly they broadcasted out of Grayling, Michigan, Traverse City, Michigan, and Mackinac City, Michigan. So it was an up north station. Mm-hmm. But they also are one of the most popular streaming stations in the state. So people all over the place would get a chance to hear it.
Oh, okay. Well, can you tell us a little bit about how you started hosting your show?
Sure. Well, I started at the radio station doing ad sales and promotions, just because I really liked the station. I moved back to the area and was trying to find something that matched my skill set, and that seemed like a likely candidate. But I was there in the lobby one day when one of the former hosts of Michigan Music Uncovered quit. So I walked into the boss's office after he quit and said, you know, I'd be willing to help out. So I started doing the show with the original host, James Lee Jones, and we did the show together for, I don't know, a few months or so, until he came in one day and said that he just couldn't do it anymore. He just opened a record store and had a young family and needed some time to focus on those things. Mm-hmm. So I took over the show by myself, and at first I was terrified to do it by myself, so I always had a guest. Until I got comfortable doing it, and then I would do it by myself or have a guest, either way.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said the name of this show was Michigan Music Uncovered?
Yes.
Okay.
So we would play Michigan music from a lot of current artists, past artists. So we'd throw a lot of Motown in there. I would do submission of the week, where somebody would send me music and I would play something off the tracks that they sent me. Mm-hmm. So that was a lot of the, you know, smaller bands that hadn't had any recognition yet. But I would also do a chestnut of the week, which was a throwback to something in Michigan music history. Mm-hmm. And then a pick of the week. So that was my choice for the week that, if people liked it enough and requested enough, it would get added to the station's regular playlist.
Oh, okay. All right, listener's pick. So, what was there a particular genre of music that you stuck to, or was it pretty much whatever you were feeling?
Well, I was on a rock and roll station. Mm-hmm. So, initially, it was supposed to be all rock and roll, but I would definitely throw in a little country, a little electronic music. You know, I would branch out in genres a bit.
Okay.
Because there were some musicians from Michigan that were really making it big, but they weren't necessarily strictly rock and roll. So I wanted to be able to highlight them as well.
Okay. All right. Now, along with the songs or tracks that someone would send you, how did you go about discovering some of these acts?
Well, I would go to a lot of music festivals and check out a lot of live music. I would look on Bands in Town, which is an app that tells you who's playing in your area.
Mm-hmm.
And I would see if they were, you know, Michigan musicians or not, do a little research on them and find out, you know, who was really playing in the area and where they were playing. So that I could share that with the listening audience as well.
Okay. And about how long were you able to do this?
I think about 7 years, which is honestly the longest I think I've ever had one job.
Sounds like a fun one to have, though. And all of this because you were sitting in the lobby for whatever reason when the opportunity presented itself.
Yeah, I think I was just playing with the office dog sitting in the lobby.
An opportunity walked by you while you were petting the dog.
Yeah, when opportunity knocks, take the call.
Absolutely. Yes, you do. All right, you were doing this for about 7 years. And then something happened. What prompted you to stop doing this?
The station owner decided she wanted to go in a different direction. And so they got somebody in that worked for about 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And their show was different than mine. They would play a lot of the local bands, like cover songs and stuff. But I never got into that. I always felt like that was kind of a rabbit hole I didn't want to go down.
Mm-hmm.
Because the sound quality just isn't as good when somebody's recording from their home instead of recording in a studio.
Okay. So, and did you prefer when the bands or the acts that you heard did original music?
Oh, absolutely.
Was that like a condition of them being a part of your show, or was?
Pretty much, yeah.
All right. Can you give us an idea of some of the ones, some of the acts, again, be they solo or band, that you came across doing their own original music?
Well, I'm a big fan of the Rachel Brook Band. That's actually part of how I ended up with my husband, is because he was playing with them, because he plays with them when they play locally. She has another touring band
mm-hmm.
when she's out, you know, spreading herself across the great states. Grizz was one that I really liked. He was a little more electronic, but he'd really, really made a foothold for himself. And I was very impressed by what a huge fan base he actually had gathered.
Mm-hmm.
Lord Huron is another one that I saw in Detroit last summer. And they're from Alpena, Michigan. But they tour nationally, if not internationally now.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. And you said your husband was part of a band. And that's how you met him?
No, I actually met him when we were young in community college,
mm-hmm.
and he was my mailman for years, but I went to one of Rachel's shows one night, and he was playing, and I got stuck there in an ice storm.
Oh, that'll do it.
So, and he agreed to take care of me because he knew where my house was, of course, because he was a mailman,
mm-hmm.
and that's how it all started, and we're still together.
For how long has that been?
About 4 years now.
Okay. All right. Well, congratulations. Is he touring anymore?
No, he'll play if Rachel comes back to the area. He plays with her.
Mm-hmm.
But she moved south of here. to the Saginaw area. So she plays out of Detroit a lot more. And she, I mean, she plays in Nashville a fair amount. She tours around the country. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay. Now.
He just doesn't want to do that.
He doesn't want to do the traveling. And...
No.
Okay. No, I can understand that. When it comes local, though, and he gets a chance to sit in, he'll do so. Is that right? Now, the person, the woman that you said runs, that ran the station, wanted to, as you put it, go in a different direction. Were they comfortable with the direction they were heading in after they tried it, or is that continuing,
well,
or did they abandon
that? The girl that they selected had been a DJ up north for several years. Mm-hmm. But she decided that she wanted to put her energy into her cleaning business instead and got out of radio.
So who's in charge of this now?
I'm not sure. Another fellow that I've been friends with on Facebook for years, mm-hmm. Took over the show, and he was playing a lot of older music. He wasn't necessarily focusing on what's current. But he did the show for once again about another 3 months. Mm-hmm. And then he sent me a message that things just didn't work out. So.
Hmm. Okay.
So I'm not sure what happened there. So I asked for my show back.
Mm-hmm.
I've been asking for my show back. But I asked for my show back when I found out they didn't have a host again. And they said they thought they had somebody else lined up, but they'd give me a call. And I'm still waiting to hear from them. So I may have to just go ahead and start my own podcast.
All right. Yeah, don't wait for somebody to give you something. If you can't, if
yeah,
they won't
like
give it
they
to you, make
that
it.
Well, anyway.
Yeah, okay. That's something else that I wanted to ask. When you started out, was this like a volunteer thing, or was
paid, but not well.
Mm-hmm.
And it was also my job to help find sponsors, and I have sponsors, and I have sponsors that are willing to like switch sponsorship from other shows back to my show if I was to be on air again.
Okay. I did notice when we were talking before that you had a pretty faithful following here.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, I mean, I did the show for 7 years and I promoted it every week. Mm-hmm. So of course you're going to get a pretty good following. It was crazy. Sometimes the messages I would get on my Twitter or X account now,
mm-hmm.
Would be from pretty famous people that
really?
Would thank me for playing them and, you know, tagging me in their posts and mm-hmm. stuff. And, it would make the other station owner, the station director, pretty jealous, actually.
Ah, okay. That's kind of what I was thinking, because you were doing this for roughly 7 years.
Yeah.
And everyone else that they brought in was there for a few months, for whatever reason. But you were getting a lot of attention. A lot of recognition from the audience and from people who wanted to have their music played on the show.
Yeah, well, and I mean, I came from a background where I already knew a fair amount of musicians. Way back in college, I dated a musician and I managed his band, and I had them touring all over Michigan. So I'd met a lot of musicians over the years, and I've always been a fan of going to music festivals anyways. So I met a lot of musicians along the way. So a lot of them were my friends. So mm-hmm. they're obviously going to support me.
Sure, sure. Well, now, with all of this in your background, with all of this, with all of these loyal fans, what is it that is, I don't want to say creating an obstacle, but that appears to be what it is. What is it that keeps them from saying, all right, Erica, you want to do the show? Go ahead and run with it. What's stopping them?
What, the radio station?
Yes.
I have no idea. I've been trying to figure that out for about a year now. And that's why I said, if it comes down to it, I guess I'll just have to start my own podcast. You know, even though I come with built-in advertisers, you know, people like the show. I like doing the show. I enjoy doing it. I enjoy putting the music out there for the people. And I'd like to keep doing that. I mean, I have another full-time job that keeps me fairly busy, but this had kind of become, you know, my hobby.
Okay. Kind of that labor of love thing where you're clearly not doing it for the money. Just, you know, you just really enjoy doing it. Is it typical to have that kind of a situation where the management of, let's say, of a radio station would look at some on-air talent and decide that even if they're going to bring a lot of listeners and bring a lot of fresh material, that they may not want to go that way? Is that something that happens a lot, or is this a fairly unique situation?
I'm not sure, because I'd had other local radio stations talk to me about doing my show on their station instead when I was still doing it. So this is really, it's kind of a mystery to me what's going on here, because I think I've shown them that I, you know, I've got a following and I have advertisers. So I don't know what the holdup is.
And what's the name of the radio station again, please?
Q100.
Q100.
Michigan.
Just out of curiosity, and I'm asking this because, you know, I've never had to deal with radio. What is the likely response if all of these people that are, you know, so firmly behind you were to make their wishes known to the management of that radio station? Do you think that would be enough to get them to respond at least one way or the other?
I mean, it's a request-driven station. So we're trying to play on that station what listeners want to hear. But right after they let me go, my biggest fan, Pat Killier, who's in the Detroit area, I went around to a lot of local bands and had them write letters to the station on my behalf. And none of it worked.
That's interesting. I mean, I've never heard of anyone who would turn down a boost in the listenership.
I haven't either. That's why I said it's a mystery to me.
All right. Well, listen, if they're not going to join with you, and if they're not going to work with you, then yeah, it sounds like the thing to do is to just start your own. So, future fellow podcaster, how soon do you think that you could, if you set your mind to want to do this, how soon do you think you could get a podcast up and running?
I don't know, probably within the next month or so.
Okay, and is that something that you're at this point seriously considering?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Then it sounds like you need to go ahead and get started.
Well, and that's why I was looking for your advice on how to start a podcast, because obviously I was doing radio, not podcasts. So I'm just not sure how that all works. And I'd been talking to some friends about it over this last year, trying to figure it out, but just really hadn't gotten any definitive answers on what the best way is to host a podcast.
Oh, okay. Well, then I will tell you this, and I'll say it publicly. Anything that I can do to be of assistance to you, I will do, because that's actually the purpose of my show, to provide that encouragement and provide any tips or whatever that I can give, either of my own experience or from those who listen. And I have learned that people who have these podcasts are eager to help someone else out. There were a lot of people who were very helpful to me, and I fully intend to be as helpful to others as I can. Most certainly you. I will be as
well. I totally appreciate that, Wayne. Oh, thank you so much.
Please, we go back a ways. This is
for sure.
Yeah, I'll be.
Did you want to get into that about how we met?
I can take it if you can. I mean, you know.
I'm fine.
All right, go ahead.
So, yes, both Wayne and I met when we were working in the Detroit, Michigan film industry, but down in Detroit years ago. Must have been, 15 years ago now?
At least.
And we were working on not only major motion pictures as background actors, but with a lot of the independent filmmakers that had sprung up in the area.
Yes.
And I did that for 10 years. I mean, I felt like I put my time in, but I'd gotten to the point where I was competing with girls who were, 15, 20 years younger than me for the same roles. And I think I just kind of aged out.
Okay, now, this is just my opinion, okay? When we were both younger, and I was, half the man I am now in size, there were a lot of things, a lot of roles that we could do and be seriously considered for. I don't think that should stop you.
Oh, well, I put on a few pounds, too. COVID was not friendly to me.
Yeah, COVID didn't exactly hug anybody, but... But still, when you're an actress, and you're a good one, and that should not stop anyone from giving you that opportunity.
Well, if the right role came around, I would still consider it. I mean, I still get... messages from the agency and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, and I still check them, like if it was something that I really wanted to do, and once in a while I'll apply for a role.
Okay.
But I'm pretty firmly set up here in Northern Michigan. So I have to also take into account travel and all that.
Ah, okay. All right. Well, then let me tell you this. I'm, along with this, I'm still doing my writing thing, and I've actually written some screenplays that I'm hoping to have produced.
Oh wow.
But yeah, I went out to, I don't want to bore everybody with this, but just really quickly, I went out to California a few times and tried to pitch my stories to a few people out there. And it got a bit expensive, and I have to admit, it got a little, I was a little bit down because I wasn't getting the most encouraging reception. But my wife, she's very encouraging, and what she actually said to me was, if we have to eat beans for you to go ahead and get this movie made, we'll start opening cans. This is what she said to me. And wow. Yeah, so it's kind of hard to stop when you have someone like that, behind you. And I'm telling you this because one of the main reasons I wanted to do this and wanted to produce these films here is to give local talent a chance to take part in some indie movies. So I will certainly consider you if I'm able to get this going. So, stay where I can find you because I'll always need good people.
Well, I'm not going anywhere, so I'm easy to find now.
All right, then. Okay. Erica, I want to thank you for spending time with us tonight and wish you the best in getting that either that radio station job or that podcast or possibly both. Give that some thought. Even if they decide that they want you, you might decide that you want to do something a little bit different in addition to that. And I certainly would encourage
that.
Well,
when I was doing it, they actually did make the podcast available.
Really?
Yeah. And so I had people, like I said, I had people all over the country listening because they would either stream it or they'd listen to the podcast when that was posted.
Then you have many options. Definitely explore them. So when you make that that decision, let me know, and we'll have you back to tell us how everything is going.
All right. Sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but like I said, thank you very much for joining us tonight. And hopefully this will, all of this will bear fruit in short time.
Yes, hopefully.
So, all right. Well, let us know what's going on.
All right. Will do. Thank you.
Thank you, Erica, and everyone else. We'll be right back.
Are you enjoying the Virulent News Toxic Habits and Attitudes podcast with Wayne Bibbs? Have you given more thought to your own experiences and not following your dreams? Who and what you let stand in your way, and what you can do to rid yourself of that toxic behavior? Now you can support Wayne's efforts to create more free content to reach more people. Please consider a monthly donation in support of the podcast, so that we can continue to offer you stories from Wayne and his guests to encourage you to embrace and follow your dreams, as long as those dreams don't involve any sort of harm to yourself or anyone else. You can subscribe to the podcast on several platforms, and you can follow The Virulent News on Twitter, now X, and Instagram. The Virulent News, Toxic Habits and Attitudes. We thank you for your support.
I know you already know this, but the whole purpose, the theme of this show, is to provide encouragement for you to do the things you've always wanted to do, but for some reason or another, talked yourself out of. All right, now, some of you may be saying, Wayne, that's nice of you. I appreciate it and all, but I'm already doing everything I've ever wanted to do. If that's true, then I say congratulations and may it continue. But I want you to think about the people in your life who perhaps aren't as fortunate as you. Maybe they aren't following some of their dreams because they have people in their lives telling them that they would be wasting their time. Know anyone like that? Then consider this. Every human being has the strength, the power to do something amazing. Strength is a funny thing in that it comes in many forms and can be applied in many different ways. The two most common ways involve breaking things down or lifting things up. You have strength, and I don't mean just the physical kind of strength. The people in your life have given you a measure of power, and you see it when harsh words make someone lower their head. That's destructive power. And a lot of people think that's the only kind of strength there is, or at least the only way to use the strength they have. They're wrong, though. You want to see real strength? You want to feel really powerful? Then grab someone by their spirits and lift. Because sometimes the heaviest thing we can ever try to lift on our own are our own spirits. Anyone can rip someone to pieces or tear them down, but true strength is picking someone's esteem up off the floor and elevating it. How? By encouraging them. By telling them you believe in them. By telling them you're proud of them for even trying something new. And you do that. Watch that person's esteem rise after it's been knocked to the floor. Watch that person expand after everyone else has squashed them. Watch that person grow. That's power. I'm going to wrap this up, but I want to thank some people. To those who have started new ventures because you, like my guest tonight, Erica Blair, don't want to wait for someone to hand them something you can get or make on your own. Thank you for recognizing your own greatness and being an example to the rest of us. And to those of you who have followed and caught up to their dreams, thank you for reaching back and sharing your strength with us. That's going to do it for this episode of the Virulent News, Toxic Habits and Attitudes. I am your host, Wayne Bibbs. We'll be speaking again in the very near future, but until then, take care.